Carolyn, as I listen to this, I'm fascinated by the connection between the immigrants of today, the people who migrate today, women who migrate today, and how that pattern was so clear back then. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I remember my stories. Now, I'm a second-generation American, but I remember stories of my own family. They were came from the Netherlands, Dutch. First, they all spoke Dutch. Then they went to the public school. And then all of a sudden, mm-hmm. the children taught the parents English. So they knew Dutch and then English. I'm the last born in the family. By the time I came along, Dutch faded away. I had to take it in college because it wasn't in the family system, but certain Dutch traits still existed. Mm-hmm. I would imagine this is what we have here. It's like things are in flux. But even culturally, Judaism, Greek understandings, Roman understandings, and here comes Christianity into this mix. It must have been extremely disruptive for women, too. Mm-hmm.
That's right. It's part of the whole pattern that was going on of migration. Differences of language. I already said that Greek was the language on the street, but there were people speaking Aramaic and other languages from other countries that they came from. You know, we haven't even talked about the Northerners from Gaul, from Germany. Those people were also in the empire. As migrants and coming with their own languages, so it was a kind of a mixture. You know, there's this famous saying of a Roman writer that the Orontes flows into the Tiber. The Orontes is a river in Syria.
Okay.
And the Tiber, of course, is the river at Rome. And so what he means is that all of Syria is moving to Rome. So, and this is from the perspective of a Roman who's not happy about that. So, you know, echoes of things going on today.
Do you feel like the women in that culture, how did they fit with that mix? Like, did the men quickly accommodate and the women still had their old patterns of that origin of birth, and then the men brought their wives? And was there sort of a bifurcation at times, or did that really just move on wherever people live?
That's very hard to say. I mean, we just don't have the documentation on that. But in general, it would be the men who would have to go out and labor. And there have been studies, for example, on unskilled labor in Rome. Mm-hmm. People coming in to Rome for work. And it would be the men who would have to do that. And whether the women even came along or not, or whether they stayed in the villages, we don't know. So we don't know what the patterns are there.
One more question about women and religion. So you had mentioned that that many of the women, there was a civil religion or a locale religion, and then there were festivals to the matrons, mm-hmm. the married, and mm-hmm. so forth. But you know, in the Bible, we see that too, like Diana's worship of Diana or whatever, different mm-hmm. things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What influence did the women's religion play in the cultures?
Yeah, women's religion fostered, I think, a kind of solidarity among women of the same social level.
Okay.
Not so much, vertically, but certainly among the people of the same social level, there would be a kind of a camaraderie of women together with each other and being able to talk about their problems and their situations and getting out of the house and away from the husbands, too.
They were allowed to do that. That was an opportunity
mm-hmm.
for them.
Yes.
Does that actually, and this is my last kind of question, does that somehow, that trait, come to Christianity where women found a solidarity with other women in Christianity, too?
We hope it did.
Okay.
Again, the voices of women, we don't have them.
I see.
So we don't know that for sure, but we can assume that, I think.
Okay, mm-hmm. Very good. This is very exciting. I can't wait to hear the next presentation.